everyone, and welcome to this week's Persuasion Influence Mastery Call. My name's Kurt Mortensen. Today is November 25th. For those in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. That will be tomorrow. We'll enjoy some family, friends, and some turkey, and hopefully a lot of pie. That's always good to have a lot of pie. So hopefully everyone can have some fun with that and practice reading body language to the family members that pretend to like you that don't or really like you. And it's a good time to practice those skills. So just for those of you on the call, these calls are always being recorded. They're always being recorded and posted. So if you miss a call here and there, that's okay. You can always review those. So we're going to spend the next 15, 20 minutes talking about a principle, persuasion, something you can apply this week by human nature. And then, of course, we'll take questions and answers. And our focus on these calls will do everything from persuasion skills to building trust to presentation skills, and also a little bit about self-persuasion, mindset, millionaire psychology. We'll spend some time on talking about a few of those things, because if you can't persuade yourself, you're not very good at persuading other people. So let me talk a little bit about something that applies to you and your success, but it also applies to working with other people. It's a principle of human nature. We remind you, we've learned more about the human brain in the last 10 years than the last 100 years combined. And what I want to talk a little bit about is understanding, of course, that we're creatures of habits, and most people tend to follow the path of least resistance. And when you're a great persuader, you sometimes develop the path of least resistance. You can develop it for them, because that's what a lot of human beings are going to follow. So you have to look at your presentation or your scripts or when you're talking over the phone, and how can you develop the path of least resistance to end up at you, because you're the solution to their problem? And that involves a little distance and a few other things. But it's also understanding the brain and how it works and talking about procrastination. You tend to procrastinate. Other people tend to procrastinate. You want someone to make a decision, and they procrastinate. So I want to talk about this because it'll help you in your own success, but it also helps you understand other people and what happens and what's working and what's not working. So, let's get into it. Procrastination, we could talk about later, but we can't because then we'd be procrastinating. Procrastination is when you postpone an important event. It's an excuse not to perform. And so you have to ask yourself, well, why do we procrastinate? Why do people cram for finals? If you've been in school or in college or any school, you give somebody 2 weeks to study for a final to do it the night before. In the United States, you give somebody 4.5 months to pay their taxes. They take 4.5 months. Why do we do that? What is the human nature there? When you give somebody, tell someone to hurry and make a decision, but don't put a deadline on it, then with that, they won't make a decision. So that's important when you're talking to people and you want a decision. If you don't put a deadline on it, it's not going to happen. People will always tend to procrastinate until the very last second. And if they don't know when that last second is, it'll never happen. I hope you caught that. If they don't know when the deadline is, when that last second is, when they need to make the decision, it's out of their mind, it's out of sight, and they never will. What happens here? How do you know? Well, first of all, let's talk about one of the main reasons people tend to procrastinate. The one that I noticed, and you see this happen in your life, I see it happen in my life until I try to figure out where it was coming from, because most people aren't even aware, is being overwhelmed. Let me give you an example from my life. In the past, you know, I used to, you know, I'd go overseas, you do a 3-day training, you're gone for a while, and you come back, and I have stuff I do with the business, the publisher has things for me to do, my children have things for me to do, my wife does, my neighbor. There's so much for me to do that I end up taking a nap. Okay, I don't know if you can relate to that. But here's the human brain. The moment you feel overwhelmed or your prospect feels overwhelmed, it shuts down and does nothing. And so when you look at network marketing, especially real estate, when there's so much you're asking them to do or they don't understand how to do it or they're overwhelmed with the process or they don't get it, their brain shuts down and they just will procrastinate and won't do anything that you've asked them to do. So, let's talk about this. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, what that means is what you're looking at is too big. When your prospect feels overwhelmed, what you're asking them to do is too big. So your goal is to help them break it down into smaller, manageable their ideas and get them published, to become an author. It's a relatively simple process when you know the process. But here's the challenge with a lot of people, because a lot of people want to become an author. They like the idea, but every time they think about writing that book, what do you think happens? Let me throw it out to the group. What do you think happens when you think about writing that book? Anybody?
They get scared.
They get scared. They get. Well, what do you think they're scared of? What are they scared of?
The unknown.
Yeah, the unknown. Can they really do it? And they think about writing a book, and that's a pretty overwhelming project to write 200 pages or 300 pages, whatever it is. And all the feelings from school come back, and then the feelings, what if my English is not good enough, and what if, and then nothing happens. And so what we do, as we train these people, is, okay, can you write 2 pages a day of your book, or 5 pages a day, whatever is realistic to them, and they can see that, or can you do 20 pages of research a day? Then it seems more realistic. It could be a day, it could be a week, it could be an hour. So in your life, if you tend to procrastinate quite a bit, if your goal is to become a millionaire in a year, that if you just think about that, you never really do much. But if you can say, okay, what that means is, okay, it's 2 hours of homework here, it means listening to this, it means doing this, and you break it down either into weekly or daily things, then it's more manageable, then you're more motivated, then you stay on track, then your procrastination tends to go way down. Now let's flip that to your prospect. When they feel overwhelmed, I'll put it this way, an overwhelmed mind says no. Or on the flip side, we've talked about this a little bit, a confused mind says no. When you ask them to do something and they don't get it, they'll procrastinate. And if you ask them if they don't get it, they'll probably lie to you because they do not want to look stupid. So you need to be very careful what you're asking people to do. It probably makes perfect sense to you. It might sound really easy to you, but when you start diving into especially like real estate and foreclosure topics and quick claim deeds, or we go to network marketing, talk about compensation plans and talking to your family and friends, whatever it is, if it seems so overwhelming or not realistic, people's brains shut down and they'll procrastinate. They won't do anything. So if you see that look in their eye, if you think they're feeling a little overwhelmed, you need to sit down with them and help them understand exactly what's happening. But let me ask this, throw this to the group. When you're looking at something, we're all about reading body language and human emotions. When you're talking to somebody, what in their body language would tell you that they are confused?
I'd say looking down or looking away from you.
Okay, that would be one. Less eye contact could be a sign of confusion, or they just don't like you. Okay, that could be part of it too, but you're looking at the difference in eye contact. That's good. What else?
A dazed look.
Puzzled look on their face.
What was that last one?
Puzzled look on their face.
Yeah, so you're looking for that kind of a puzzled look, and a puzzled look is kind of when their eyes will squint a little bit. They'll kind of, you'll see more wrinkles by their nose, their forehead. Their mouth will kind of tighten or pucker a little bit. That's a confused look. And it might be just a quick, what they call a micro-expression. It might happen for a second, then they won't do it anymore. But you'll see that confused look in their face. That's when you know that you've probably overwhelmed them, you've confused them. And it doesn't matter what you say from here. They're very difficult to persuade unless you stop and fix it. Most rookie persuaders will keep going with their presentation hoping that it works. But a great persuader is going to stop because this is where we need to fix something. They are confused. Now, on the opposite, before we talk about how to handle that, how do you know when somebody's interested and it's time to stop and ask for their business?
If they're asking buying questions.
Yeah. They're saying, will it be okay if we move in 2 weeks? Do you mind if I get all my family and friends to join the company too? That's when it's time to stop talking.
If they're offering double your down payment.
Here you go. Can we pay more? Can we just do all cash? It would be it's time to just be quiet and move forward. And you're also going to notice that the responses are quicker, they're easier, they tend to lean forward, they're over the phone, their voice will sound a lot more interested, their eyes will sparkle, and their head will tend to nod up and down. That that's when you're on the right track. On the flip side, they're confused. So when they're confused, and you've noticed it, you've sensed it inside, or you kind of notice that you've lost them, what can you do? What do we need to do to bring them back on track? Anybody, what would you do? What's the best way to get control of the conversation?
Bring up a social, make a joke.
You could use a little humor. The one thing I would focus on at this moment, the person that asked the questions, you've heard this one before, controls the conversation. So at this time, you need to ask a question. Now, you don't want to ask in a closed-ended question like, do you get it? And they'll say yes. Do you understand? Yes. Do you see the power in this? Yes. Doesn't this excite you? Yes. And those are all lies. You need a type of question, an open-ended question that's going to help you gauge whether they're lying to you or not. Because most objections you get are because, you know, people are trying to get rid of you or they're confused. For example, you could say, you've been very quiet. Can you tell me what you're thinking about? That would be a moment of truth. Try to dig a little down. This is going to depend on your trust level and your rapport. See, I'm trying to help you out and figure out the best way to work with you on this. Can you mind what you're thinking about here? Or if they catch you off guard with something, you say, you know, I'm surprised to hear you say that. What do you mean by? What exactly does this mean to you? If you were me, what would you do in this situation? Come up with a few different questions. You know, can you tell me the reasons for and against making the decision at this time? And you're going to gauge their interest in their voice. You're going to gauge how they look. You're going to gauge if they look puzzled. For example, the one that's important, when people say, here's one you hear all the time, and this is how you gauge this. Well, I need to think about it. Right? I want to think it over. You're going to hear that. Now, most of the time, that's a knee-jerk reaction. And so you're going to ask an open-ended question. You wouldn't say, well, no, you don't. Or why would you need to think about it? You don't want to back him in the corner. You would say, great. What exactly? And if they say, well, everything, then you know that you've lost them, you've confused them somewhere. But if they say, you know, I really got to think about this location, or this is $200 more than I plan on spending a month, or whatever it is, then you're going to find exactly what the objection is. Your key. Understand today that a confused mind says no, an overwhelmed mind says no, and a lot of people miss it here because this is what you're learning to do, and for many of you, this is what you do for a living, and it makes perfect sense to you. But remember the first time you heard the term FSBO, or the first time you heard quick claim deed, or the first time you heard linear, the different names for the compensation plans, if it's network marketing, whatever it is you do. A lot of people aren't going to get it the first time, and they're not going to tell you. So reading their facial expressions is critical here, and having a question in place, even a question, one of my favorites is, well, what does the perfect solution look like to you? And then you just shut up and listen and ask a few more questions and keep your head nodding and say, uh-huh. So I've got a practice. If you're going to family gatherings this week, practice talking to people. Ask them what they're interested in. Get them to learn. Try to connect with them, especially family members you don't see all the time. It's good practice. The one thing we teach over and over again, we have to reprogram people to do, is to learn to answer a question with a question. And that, you've been programmed your whole life not to do that, even though you've learned that. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to change that programming. When people ask a question, and you throw it back. And do this with children. You can do this all day long with children. They have no idea what you're doing, but it's good practice for you. Well, they want to do this. Well, why do you want to do that? And then they say, throw another thing. You just keep asking questions. It maintains control, and when you do it the right way and there's a connection there. Now, if there's no connection, they don't like you. Anything you do is not going to work. But when there's a connection there, asking the questions, you come across as a consultant. But you have to look at a doctor. A medical doctor is probably going to ask 20, 30 questions before they start doing any real diagnosis or giving you exactly what you need to do. And that's okay because they're the expert. They're trying to help you out. They're trying to fix you. And you can come get that relationship with them and develop that trust. It goes a long, long way. That is the critical factor here. So to recap, before we open it up for questions, if you personally, because this works for your prospect yourself, tend to procrastinate, the big factor for many of you is you're procrastinating something that either that you're scared of, that gives you fear, like picking up the phone or go knocking on that door. Fear could cause you to procrastinate. When this, and the other one we talked about, what we spent most of the time on, is being overwhelmed. So you need to look at whatever you're working on, whatever your project is, or what your income goals are, break that down to smaller, manageable, daily or weekly pieces, and you'll see a big difference in how you feel about it and your excitement to do it. So those are the two major factors, fear and being overwhelmed. The second thing, this is true with your prospects. Learn to read their body language and give them an open door. Now, I explained this a couple weeks ago. Great persuaders, you need to check your ego in at the door. So if they're confused, don't make them feel stupid. Now, your knee-jerk reaction is, well, I don't do that. Well, I'm not saying that you mean to do it, but sometimes the way you come across, you do. When they're confused, or they don't understand anything, you own up to it. You say, I'm sorry. I should have explained that better. Oh, it's my fault. Own up to it, even if you don't feel that it is. Because the moment they feel stupid, or the way you handle the objection wrong, or you're kind of quick to answer a question, those doors of persuasion will swing closed fast. So apologize for it. Doesn't matter if you think you've explained it clearly. They didn't get it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a great question. Thanks for bringing it up. Keep the door open. That was me. I should have spent more time on that. I should have explained that better. Again, thank you for asking that. Keeps the door open. Because you're dealing, especially with real estate, with topics that a lot of people don't get, they've never thought about, and they don't even want to think about it, but now they have to. And that's the difference between, you know, true success and working with people and understanding human nature. Human nature. All right. With that in mind, this week, if I know many of you are on vacation times, just practice answering questions with questions. Practice reading people. Pick a family member you haven't seen a lot and try to connect with them and try to build rapport with them and ask enough questions to where they're going to open up to you and start to like you better. You know, we're so concerned at family gatherings to boast what they're up to and talk about what they've been through and what's going on. Reverse a little bit. Spend some time. You've got a captive audience. You've got time between the meal and the pie and all the other things in the football games to do that. Plus, you're going to get a big fan that is a member of your family. So think about that too. Question with a question. Start learning to read, connect, and read the body language. But I want you to be aware that a confused mind, an overwhelmed mind, says no. All right. So practice that. Think about that until next Wednesday. That's a goal. Just talk a little bit about it and then apply it throughout the week so it becomes a tool that you can use at any time. With that being said, are there any questions about what we talked about or things that you're running into? Anybody?
No, that helped. Sounds really good.
Thanks.
What's the biggest secret to knocking out procrastination for yourself?
Well, the two major causes is trying to figure out, is it coming from a fear, or is it coming from you feeling that you're overwhelmed? And we can talk a little about, you know, because procrastination goes directly into time management. And most people are wasting, on average, almost 2 hours a day. They never admit it, but it is. And here's another thing I think will help people out with time management, procrastination, is this. Getting how the human brain works. When we study about millionaires, you know, millionaire psychology, then they tend to accomplish, you know, 10 times more in half the amount of time. So one thing you need to look at, if you tend to procrastinate or you're sitting at your desk wanting to do it, but you just can't think clearly and things aren't just gelling for you, here's something that'll help everyone out. Every single one of us has what I call a block. Okay, we have a 4-hour block during the day where cognitively or mentally we're the sharpest, where we're on our game. Now, for most people, it's in the morning. Some people, it's in the afternoon. Some people, it's late evening. Some people, it's late evening. You know, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 2 a.m. sometimes, I'm on it. I can get a lot of a book done or something like that. What I'm trying to say is this. You need to identify your four-hour block of the day where you are the sharpest, where things just are much easier for you. You're thinking clearer. And that is the time you focus on the projects that you tend to procrastinate on. That is the time you turn your phone off. You turn your email dinger off. You lock your door and say, do not disturb. That is the time you do your heavy lifting or heavy thinking. And that is the time you work on the project that you tend to procrastinate. That is the time you do the things, your most income-producing activities is during that time. Again, there's no right or wrong between morning, afternoon, or evening, but it's right or wrong for you as far as what is it for you? What is it for you? Is another thing we've noticed that really helps people out to not only manage their time better and accomplish more, but that also helps overcome procrastination, along with identifying if there's a fear there or identifying if there's something that's overwhelming you that you're just not sure how to do it, or you're confused, or it looks too big, would cause you to procrastinate. Does that help?
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Another question I've got coming in is more about on time management. A couple things I want to point out. There's a big difference between activity and accomplishment. How many of you can be busy all day and accomplish nothing? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all can. All of us can do that. So activity is not accomplishment. So a couple things that we notice with millionaires is you always ask yourself, okay, what's the most important use of my time right now? Or some people might ask, okay, what is the most important income-producing activity? And learn to clarify your priorities. Now, some people like to... They say never start the day until it's finished on paper, whether you do that the night before or in the morning. And there's some good truth to that. That helps you organize, keeps you focused. But the negative thing to that, just so you're aware, is the most important things in your life will not make it on paper. Family, friends, charity, whatever the things. You have to be careful that if you're going to make a list, make sure the important things on your life do make it on paper. Always ask yourself, you know, what's the most important use of my time? Another thing we noticed that learning to multitask, doing two or three things at once, maybe you're listening to educational CDs in your car while you drive, learning to monitor interruptions, train people not they can't just pop into your office at any time, learning to batch your tasks, meaning you only answer email once a day or return phone calls once a day or do bills once a week, you don't spread those out, that's a good time management technique. That we notice, and Napoleon Hill talks about this in Think and Grow Rich, that indecision destroys purpose. One thing we notice with millionaires, successful CEOs of large corporations, is they have the ability to make decisions quickly. And this is one of the things I've been researching for my new book on charisma, is that intuition's a big part of success and a big part of charisma, and everyone admits using it, but they're not sure how they do it, so how to explain it to other people. They know they use it, but explaining it. I've been trying to quantify that. If you look at CEOs of multi-billion corporations, they have 2,000 pages of data, but ultimately, they're going to follow their instinct, follow their heart, follow their intuitions, follow that impulse. Because you can take 2 weeks to make a decision, but that's a big waste of time. You won't be perfect every time, but learn to make quick decisions. Making slow decisions is a major cause of failure. Because think about it. Let's talk about real estate. You go to it. You go to a property. It feels good. The numbers work. Done. You're a little nervous, though, so you're going to sleep on it. And you come back the next day, what's going to happen?
Might be gone.
It's gone. So that's my decision. I know. What's that?
Somebody beat you to it.
It beat you to it. So I know this is tough for many of you, especially analytical types, but that's something to think about. If you're taking too long to make a decision to analyze, you can take any challenge, any problem, overanalyze it, run all the numbers, get more numbers, do more research, but that's a major cause of failure. I'm not saying never do research. You should do some research and do things and get the knowledge and look at some numbers, but you got to learn to make those decisions a little quicker. And that comes with time, and that is a major time management technique. And it's a major cause of failure when people take too long to Time's more valuable than money. Because if you wasted, okay, the average is this, and most people deny it, but when we monitor people, it's 2 hours a day. You waste 2 hours a day, and you know what you do. That's 30 days in a year. That's a month you've wasted of time. And in 10 years, that's almost, what, 10 months? It's almost a year wasted every 10 years, a year of income probably. So it's just something to think about with when we talk about time management and overcoming procrastination. Good question. Any other questions?
Hey, Kurt, just a recap. I'm trying to follow, keep up with you on notes here. It was block out a four-hour time frame, and then check voicemails and emails once a day. And what else was there was about three or four different things you had.
You bet. And next time you stop me. I do get going pretty. I get excited. I start going.
Oh, that's cool.
You can stop me at any time. We talked about batching tasks. I think that's with the email, whether it's email or phone calls. Do them all at once. Because the worst thing you could do is like when you check an email, you're like, oh, okay, and you keep as new to do it later. I mean, you've wasted all that time.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about monitoring interruptions. I don't know if you got that one down.
Oh, okay. That was the other one.
And I think the other one would talk about multitasking. Multitasking. So maybe if it's part of the day where you're working on something that doesn't take a lot of mental energy, you throw in an educational CD or a DVD and just listen to it in the background. That's multitasking. You wouldn't do that during maybe a hardcore learning task or a project, but if it's just something simple and putting numbers, you're listening to things, that's multitasking. And the last one I'll mention right now, if you want more time, exercise. Now, how would exercise give you more time?
Give you more energy.
It does. Now, we've all, including myself, we've all said what about exercise?
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, it does. Well, we've all said we don't have time. But when you look at it, when you exercise, you feel better, right? You sleep less. You think better, you have more energy, and you live longer. Okay? You can make all excuses you want, but that will give you more time all across the board. I know we're busy, I know it's hard to carve things out, but wow, it's something you might need to think about in your ability to manage time and be successful.
Yeah, but I can do it tomorrow.
Exactly. We start exercising next year. Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up and the holidays. I mean, really, we don't want to start till the new year. There's procrastination 101 right there. Good. All right. Any other questions? All right. Good questions today. And, of course, if there's other things you want to start hitting on, talking about, let me know. The replay, of course, is at persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, K-U-R-T, I'm going to spell my name, K-U-R-T, I was going to say not C, but K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L, KurtCall.com, no, sorry, man, I can't get this right, persuasioniq.com/KurtCall with a K, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L, I will get that right sometimes. And we post those, so if you want to review them or download them or listen to them throughout the week, go for it. You miss them. I know a lot of people aren't on this because of holidays and traveling, and that's okay. Get on, we'll ask questions, and we'll make it happen. And so with that, everyone have an incredible holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a lot of fun. Be safe in your travels, and we'll talk to you next week.